It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with Episode 6 of Season 3 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We're going to be looking at number 50 this week. We're going to be looking at all the football games. We've got it all. Everybody played last week, Tony.
Everybody played.
Since it's week one, which is week two. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So, number 50. There's some great number 50s.
There are. There's not a numerous amount of them, but the ones that are, are great.
Yeah.
Mike Singletary, I mean, Walter Payton's probably the greatest Chicago Bear. Mike Singletary may be, too.
He may be the best defense, greatest defensive.
Absolutely.
I don't know. You got
Buckus there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you got.
But I'll tell you, Mike Singletary was full-grown man.
Yeah, he was.
and he coached, when he coached like a full-grown man, too. He expected all his players to be full-grown men.
Yeah, he did. I tell you what, I've seen his look. Both when he was playing and when he was coaching.
Yeah.
You could see it better when he was coaching. And it was like you wanted to make sure you did what he did so you'd stay alive.
Well, if you had a picture dictionary and the word intense come up, there would be a picture of Mike Singletary.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
Another great football player, Aaron Donald.
Yep.
Yeah, just, I mean, almost.
Well, Aaron Donald only worked for a short time.
Right.
So, but he did wear it. There was a couple that I found later on. David Robinson.
Yeah.
Forgot that David Robinson had wore number 50. And then Rebecca Lobo. I'm not a huge women's basketball fan. I've become more of one as of late, but as per my
Thank you, Kate Clark.
Yeah. from what I understand, she was.
Oh, she was a great basketball player.
Amazing.
Yeah, she really was.
Yeah.
And, you know, Junior Seau.
Worked for a short time. Another one that worked for a short time.
Yep. Warren Sapp, I don't remember him wearing it. It must have been a short time, too.
Well, and it may have been as a Hurricane.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Dan Hampton, another Bear.
That worked for a short time.
Yeah.
But he was a great ball player. Actually, he was in the Queen at one time, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah he was. And he played for Arkansas.
Yeah.
And got to see them Monday night recognized because the 85 Bears team got recognized Monday night.
Yep.
The Super Bowl winning Bears.
Yeah, and the current Bears went out and did what they do.
Yeah, that's right.
Mookie Betts was one that I found after I'd done some research. Wears number 50 for the Dodgers. Probably the best baseball player in the league now that wore number 50. And you found one. Just before we went on the air, that I love.
Me too. Basketball player for the Razorbacks.
Yeah.
Pat Summerall.
Pat Summerall.
You may know him for other things.
You may.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being John Madden's play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
Although Pat Summerall was a legend even before Madden come along.
Yeah, he was. You know, and they still use his voice when the Razorbacks come out at Fayetteville.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they do.
He's
the voice that as they come out. So
50 was a pretty populous number.
Yeah, well, a lot of great players there. I mean, you talk about David Robinson, man.
Oh, he was if what I remember about him is true, when he enlisted in the Navy, he was still under the – you know, you can only be so tall and be in the Navy. And then once he got in the Navy, he just shot up. So pretty cool.
Yep. It's really cool. But we got a lot of football to talk about, and we're going to talk about the DeQueen Leopards now. The Leopards 1-1 on the season. They beat the Horatio Lions 42-8 this week. And Tony, you know, just an outstanding game by the Leopards from start to finish.
It was hard to remember a better offensive game. It's been a while since the Leopards have had 442 yards of total offense. It's been a while since the Leopards were 8 of 9 passing for 142 yards. That was Jake Martin, had a passing touchdown last play of the first half. And then 42 yards rushing, 84 total yards. But, man, we had some underclassmen, Greg, that really stepped up in that ballgame. think about Landon Wise, 77 yards rushing and a touchdown, six catches for 107 yards through the air. Mm-hmm. So he had a big game. He's a sophomore. Luis Sotelo's a junior. He had nine rushes for 97 yards and two touchdowns. Evan Walcott, he's a sophomore, seven tackles, two tackles for loss. Yvonne Gonzalez, six tackles, three passes defended. You add on that, Rylan Pickett and Rusty Bermeo both had touchdowns for the Leopards. It was a great night to be a Leopard.
It was, and you know, Landon Wise, we renamed him Burger Boy. Because he's going after that McDonald's extra value meal every week.
He is.
He's trying to. He's going for that, man. Having at least a great start to the season.
He's definitely got off to a great start. I will tell you, that kid runs hard. Him and Sotelo both run really hard.
They really do. They really do. Great game for them. And you, as you can tell by looking at the stats and all the players that had so many stats, a very convincing victory over the Horatio Lions. Moving on, unless you've got something else you want to talk about there, I think that pretty much covered that. Leopards this week go to Lafayette County, and they're going to play the Cougars, who are 0-1.
Yeah, they were off last week. They played week zero, didn't play last week, lost to Hampton in week zero. And I haven't been this unsure in a long time of what the Leopards will encounter when they get somewhere, you know, because, I mean, there's a lot of unknowns about Lafayette County. They lost a lot from last year. They gave us all we wanted last year, took a goal line stand to win the ball game. I believe they didn't make any of their 2-point plays, and that was the difference in a 19-18 game.
That's right.
So, you know, going down there, you got to believe that they're going to be waiting on us at the county line. And I imagine the Leopards will have to play well to win.
Yeah, and one of the best things about going down there to play, you can go to Burgess and eat. Give me some turkey salad, will you?
While we're down there?
Yeah. Oh, man. But you know, the thing about it is, like you said, last year's game was a tale of two halves. I think, if I'm not mistaken, we were up 19-0 at halftime.
Yes, and then hung on.
Yeah, and I mean, like the last play of the game, we kept them from scoring a 2-point conversion or close to it. And so I know they lost a couple of their best players.
Right.
But it's going to be you go down there, you're in for a tussle, I can tell you.
Oh, absolutely, and I would imagine that it'll be another 1 or 2 score ball game.
Coach Bell, the Leopards rolled up 389 yards and 35 points in the first half in that 42-8 win over Horatio Friday. Significant improvement in the passing game. Jake Martin, 8 of 9, 142 yards and a touchdown. That can just open things up for the offense.
Yeah, he kind of came into his own Friday night, you know, moving from middle linebacker to quarterback, you know, a little bit of growing pains, you know. And so after the meeting game, we told him just, you know, trust yourself and, you know, get rid of that ball. And, you know, he did put it on the money Friday night. So hopefully, you know, with that passing game working, get a couple guys out of the box for future opponents.
Go to Lafayette County this week. They gave us a dogfight last year. We were up 19-0 at the half, came out 19-18, stopping them on their 2-point conversions and a goal line stand late in the game. And I know Coach Adrian Ivory's club has good size and speed this year.
Yeah, they always have more speed than we do. And so last year, you know, we came out the first half and put it right down their throats and drove it down and had a great half of stopping them on defense. And then they come out what I call a tubby formation, where they put all the big guys in the box and put those athletes behind them and just let them make moves and run. So they're going to do that again this year from the film I got. First half against Hampton, they spread it out and we're trying to run it. And second half, they got back in that tubby formation and started handing it to their athletes, basically just, you know, a big pile of bodies, and they're trying to find a hole to go through. So we're going to have to do a little bit of preparing on that and try to figure out something to stop it this year.
Did I see this right? Number 23, Jordan Walters of the Cougars, rushed for 266 yards in that first game against Hampton.
Yeah, he plays quarterback, and if he's that quarterback, he's either going to keep it, you know, or hand it off to number zero. And if number 12 is in at quarterback, he moves to running back. So they're going to give it to him. He's for sure their best player on the field. And besides him, you know, they got a big kid at number zero there. But yeah, 23, he's a kid that we're going to have to watch out for 100%. Yeah.
Well, finally, the keys to victory on the road at Lafayette County, and the Leopards starting a winning streak.
Yeah, we're going to have to keep them from making big plays. You know, with their speed, you know, they can get outside or pop one really fast on us. And so quick scores are going to be something that we're going to try to eliminate, make them drive the field and make a mistake. So I think eliminating the big plays and, again, as always, turnovers.
Time to talk about the Horatio Lions. Tony and Horatio had lost to the Leopards this week. They're 1-1 now. This week, big week for them.
A huge week as rivalries go. A lot goes into this DeQueen Horatio game, Sevier County showdown, trying to, make the kids excited about it, make the community excited about it. But this is a long-standing rivalry.
It's a trophy game.
It's Tony. A trophy game this week, yeah. with the Foreman Gators.
Yeah, it is, and also homecoming for the Horatio Lions.
Yep.
And, I know Coach Willis is really excited about that. He loves homecoming.
He sounded really excited about it.
That's just
a coach's thing.
Yeah, I don't understand. Coaches are not excited about homecoming. I don't know.
Coaches are not excited about distractions.
That's right. They don't like distractions.
That's right.
But I know he's just kidding. I mean, it's part of the experience and part of what you do, and that's it. But, going back to the Leopard game, I want to talk just a minute about the Horatio Lions. They came out on the short end of the stick. I was very impressed by their willingness to – the way they played, how hard they played, the effort of the coaches to get plays that would work, which we saw some of those.
Yeah.
Because their normal stuff didn't work.
Right.
So they changed and did a couple other different things. Plus, just the fact that – they had 20 players to start the game. One got hurt, so they were moving people around, and they, they just did the best they could. They got wore out, I'm very impressed by the Horatio Lions.
Well, that double handoff thing,
yeah.
I mean, I saw it on huddle, and I'm sure their coaches saw it on their game film, but. A couple of those double handoffs that ended up being fumbled, they would have went big had the exchange been right. Yeah. I mean, they were set up. So, hats off to the Horatio coaching staff for putting their kids in a place where they could succeed, a situation where they can succeed. That's all you can ask coaches to do, is to put you in a situation that gives you the best chance to succeed.
Yeah, and apparently Marvin Martinez is going to be the Tasmanian Devil this year.
I can't remember from Hootens whether he's the one that the linebacker that weighs 146 or 164.
I don't know. Either way, he's not very big.
Neither of those linebackers in the middle are very big for the Lions, but they play big. And that Martinez kid was everywhere.
Yeah, 11 tackles and one tackle for loss, just amazing.
Yep.
We'll talk about some of the others then. But looking at Foreman, Foreman. Last week, lost to Hampton. They took that long bus ride over there, lost. So they're coming back home 1-1.
They probably got back today, didn't they?
Yeah, they probably did. It takes about 3 weeks to get there. But let's see what Coach Paul David Willis has to say about the Leopard game and also about the upcoming homecoming game.
I'm here with Coach Paul David Willis of the Horatio Lions. Coach, just a tough game, but from my opinion, at least, a well-played game by the Horatio Lions.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. I think the kids competed. The kids got everything they had, and, we were outnumbered. There was a whole lot more of them than there was of us, and they were a whole lot stronger than we were. But the kids never gave up. I thought the kids played hard. I thought the kids played with a lot of class, and I mean, from a coach's point of view, that's really all you can ask is kids do the best they can and play it with some honor and have a little pride, a little dignity. And I think we did all that. So I don't have any complaints, no complaints at all.
Well, you know, just looking at, you know, and we talked about a lot of these kids the first week too, but, you know, Joseph Fonseca, you know, 16 rushes for 49 yards. And I'm going to tell you, every one of those yards were tough yards. he scored.
Well, they were.
And so, you know, I thought he ran well.
He did, and he played hard, and he's a good young man, and he's growing and learning and developing, and I think he's learning some traits that's going to help him. So, you know, not necessarily in football, but down the road, and I think that's really kind of what I'm in this for, more than the wins and losses.
Well, yeah, and we all appreciate that. I talk about somebody else, Isaiah Samuel. You know, he was 6 of 10, 50 yards passing. I mean, I think that they did a good job with that. And then talking about on defense, Marvin Martinez, I mean, he just, you know, I think we're going to nickname him the tackling machine because he just leads your defense. He led it the first week and he led it this week too. And had 11 tackles and one tackle for loss. So. Did a good job.
Well, I tell you what, if you can't respect Marvin Martinez and if you can't respect Isaiah Samuels for what they're doing and the way they're playing, then you know you don't have a heart, and that's they're good kids.
Yeah, well, and you know the other thing, you know, I watched the game and I'm still impressed by your line now, and I think. You know, some of the things you said are probably true, but you know, and going both ways with most of your kids is, you know, it's hard when the other team's not doing that, and you know, you get worn out. And I think that's what happened, you know, in both halves to a certain extent. So, but you know, I don't think the Lions have anything to hang their heads about. I think they played well, they played hard, they played with honor, and they. They didn't quit, and I think that's what you do.
Well, I agree with you, and that's kind of the message that we're going to have when we meet later on today. And you know, really and truly, we kind of knew that going in. It doesn't really take a Rhodes Scholar to figure out that you know we were outmanned and outclassed, outnumbered, and you know we still got on the bus and we went up there and did the best we could. So I mean, that's all you can ask a group of kids to do.
Yeah, that's right. Well. Moving on, unless you've got something else you want to talk about with that.
Well, other than, you know, I respect Coach Bell and what Coach Bell is doing at McQueen because a whole lot, really and truly, we're kind of the same boat. You know, he's here in a couple of weeks when he gets into conference, he's gonna play part in you and some of those folks. And, you know, it's going to be the same thing as it was Friday night, just the shoes on the other foot. And he knows that. Him and I talked about that. And he's really and truly got his program where I hope this one could be in a couple of years. Because the only way that both of our programs are going to develop is for the kids to get in the weight room and commit to the weight room and get maximum effort out of their body and their skills. And that's kind of what we're hoping to do at Horatio. He's just he's ahead of the game. And you know, his him and his staff are doing a great job of what they got, and I have nothing but ultimate respect for him and his program.
Well, and one of the things that you've mentioned this before, that you know you're playing a 3A schedule with a 2A roster, and you know he's kind of playing a 5A schedule with maybe a 4A roster or maybe a 3A roster.
Maybe a 3A roster.
Yeah, you know, because you've got 20 kids. He's got 40, which, you know, and you know, both teams are shorthanded as they get in playing against their conference foes. But
you're right. We're similar.
All you got to do is just keep working and get more kids out. And winning does something for that, for sure. But you know, there's more to it than winning, and you know, I know you know that, and that's what you're teaching. You talked about that RA with Joseph Fonseca today, but anyway, moving on, we could get philosophical, and I'd get way over my head really quick. So
we're gonna. Well, me too. I'm from Horatio. I'm not real intelligent, so you know how that goes.
Well, we're going to move on. We're going to talk about the line of Foreman Gators is what we're going to do. Foreman, it's going to be homecoming for the Lions, I believe. I know you as a head coach, coaches always love homecoming, you know, and all.
Oh, I love it.
It'll be a big night for the Horatio school and all the kids and they host the Foreman Gators. Foreman 1-1, you know, beat Parker's Chapel in week 0, but then went down to Hampton and lost to Hampton 38-14. What do you see there, Coach?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because we talked about us being similar to the Queen and, you know, the Queen Horatio being similar. Well, you know, Foreman's in basically in the same boat with the two of us. All three of us are, you could use the same descriptors to describe all of us. You know, we're all fighting with numbers. You know, we got programs that in the past have been proud, but they're kind of going through some struggles. And, you know, you got coaches that are trying to change direction of the program. And that's exactly what Coach Baker's doing at Foreman. You know, the program there's had a lot of history and a lot of pride, and it's been down a little bit, and he's trying to change directions. He's doing a good job. He's got a young program. He's got some freshmen that he's moved up and he's playing, and he's kind of an old school guy, kind of like, you know, Coach Bell and myself. He's kind of an old school guy, and you know, it's going to be smash mouth football, and you know, it is what it is. So it's a lot of the same story. And you know, we're actually competing with somebody that is more our numbers size and our strength size. So, you know, we're hoping that we match up better. And the challenge for us is to, you know, stay together and play together and try to get a little confidence and maybe come away with a win and get ready for conference.
Yeah. You know, we talk about, you know, Horatio and the Queen being a severe county matchup, and I know these teams aren't in the same county, but pretty big rivalry here between Foreman and Horatio.
Well, it is. When I got back here, a couple years ago, there was a trophy sitting up there in a shelf in the office. It was Little River County, I think it's Little River Clash, it's Crash or Flash or something. Well, I don't remember what's written on it, but I know there's a trophy in there, and It was dusty. It hadn't even been gotten out. And Coach Baker and I got it out last year and kind of revitalized it. So we're actually playing for a trophy. And I wish somebody would find out the history of the thing, because I don't know when it started. It started sometimes after I graduated. And I guess they kind of swapped it there for a couple of years, and then somebody got tired of messing with it, so it just sat in the shelf.
Yeah, well, that's good that you got it restarted, though, because that means something to those kids, and to get bragging rights for a year and get that trophy, that means a whole lot to them, and I think that's important. That's great that y'all got that going on.
Well, yeah, and that's kind of the reason we started. You know, Coach Baker and I talked, and we both just looking for something to kind of revitalize the program, and we thought, hey, if we can get a little bit out of that, let's milk it.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, so you anticipate this being a good game, or what are your?
I think it will be. I mean, it was competitive last year. I mean, every year that I've been around it, the last 2-3 years, as you know, as a coach, and then as year I was set out and didn't coach, the battle's always been. It's been a close battle, you know. So it's going to be a close battle, and it's going to take an effort on the kids' part to win. And you know, I think either side can feel good about having a chance.
Well, that's great. Anything else that you got for me before I let you go, Coach?
Well, I just, you know, I hope the people come out. You know, it is, like you said, it is homecoming. It's kind of early to have a homecoming, but like you said, as a coach, you kind of want to get that done and get it over with, and everything here out is a conference game. And quite honest, as a coach, you don't really want a conference game. You know, you don't want the distractions of a homecoming to affect a conference game. And that's part of the reason that we moved it to when we did. And so I'm excited about it. I know there'll be a whole lot of excitement in the town. And, you know, you get all the festivities and activities that go along with it. It's going to be a crazy week at school, and it's, you know, it's homecoming, man. That's what homecoming is.
Yeah, you're right. I like I said one more time, I know that you just love it, all that extra stuff that distracts the kids from the task at hand. But this is
the 40th year I've done this, so it is nothing new for me.
Right, it is a great time, and the kids enjoy it, and I just look forward to talking to you again next week. We'll talk about a Lion victory next week.
Well, we hope so, and that's what we talked to the kids about Friday night. You know, even up on the field at the Queen, is I don't know how it's been since Rachel's won a homecoming game, but I don't know that either. I wish I knew, but it's been a while.
Yeah. Well, good opportunity for it, and look forward to seeing what happens this Friday night at homecoming down at Horatio.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
At Pilgrims, our vision guides everything we do to be the best and most respected company in our industry, creating the opportunity of a better future for our team members. From education and recreation to healthcare and social services, Pilgrims invests in meaningful community projects that have lasting benefits for our team members and our neighbors. We have provided meaningful investments in projects that will have a lasting impact for generations to come. We are also building the largest free college tuition program in rural America, Better Futures. Pilgrims is providing team members and their child dependents the opportunity to pursue their higher education dreams for associate degrees and trade certificates at community and technical colleges tuition free. Opportunity awaits. Join our talent community today and visit jobs.pilgrims.com.
Now it's time to talk about the Ashdown Panthers. And after being off in week zero, the Ashdown Panthers trekked up to Little Rock and started out 12-7 over the Little Rock Mills Comets.
That's the first report we got. We kind of keep track of the scores of interest, and that's the first report we got. And I'm thinking, man, Ashdown's going to play with the Comets this year.
Yeah, and the next report we got was what? 43-12.
Something like that. 42. Yeah.
It was just, again, Little Rock Mills, one of the best teams in the state in 4A. Ashdown played hard. I listened to some of the game on the radio, Jim Cross and his call of it, and I think they played hard. I think, you know, you just got out-athleted.
Well, and there was great individual efforts in that game by some Panthers. Bryson French had an incredible ball game. But Mills, just so many athletes, Greg, that trip is not easy. We've made that trip several times on the, you know, 2.5 hours on a bus to Little Rock is not fun at all for anybody. So hopefully the Panthers can get it straightened out this week against the Hope Bobcats.
Well, yeah, they got the Hope Bobcats, and they've got them at home.
Right.
And so Hope, after starting off, they kind of got a murderer's role that, you know, they don't play the first week. Either.
I don't know. Is Philip Turner the AD as well as the football coach? Because, man, the AD and the football coach may be having words, and it may be the same guy.
It may be. But if I were these two teams, I'd play each other the first game of the year.
Yes, mm-hmm. That week zero game.
Yeah, and then take off the third week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, I'm getting my German in there.
Yeah.
But anyway, they're playing Hope. You know, Hope's 0-1 after taking a pretty good spanking by the Nashville Scrappers.
They got an angry Nashville team.
Yeah, they did.
They got a Nashville team that was ready to play, and 47-20 is not as – That indicates a closer game than it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And so looking for good things for the Panthers this week, and we'll hear Jim Cross talk to Coach McCaslin about it right now.
Jim Cross with Coach Eric McCaslin of your Ashdown Panthers. Hey, Coach, what did you learn about the team Friday night?
I learned we're able to stand with the contenders in the state, and I think we showed that we can play with them. Now we just got to play four quarters with everybody. Right. I think the most important thing is whenever things don't go our way or whatever, we can't let that snowball into something. We have to regroup, refocus ourselves, and then start playing good football again in the middle of a game instead of waiting until after to fix the mistakes.
Sure. So what did you like? Was there one thing that stood out? You said, okay, I really like this.
Yeah, I love the way that offensive line started picking up pass protection. Mm-hmm. I think from the Murfreesboro scrimmage to the Mills game, a lot different caliber of athletes, a lot more pressure coming. Mm-hmm. I think at the Murfreesboro, we were still kind of confused on where we were supposed to be. And mm-hmm. I think that's the building block of it. Now we know where we're supposed to be. Now it's about executing what we're supposed to do versus those guys. That's going to help build our way for the rest of the season because, of course, we're an air raid team. So got to be able to protect the quarterback if you're going to be able to throw the football.
Coach Darrell and I thought that as the game went on, your two sophomores in the secondary, Caden White and Wesley Norcross, really started to get it and made some plays for you. Talk about those two young men.
Yes, sir, absolutely. I think they've been growing all summer. They've been guys that's been here all mm-hmm. summer. I know Wesley was somebody that we were kind of worried about going into the season. Would he be able to develop being that sophomore playing that spot, or were we going to put somebody else there? He's come a long way, and it speaks a lot to how they're practicing versus mm-hmm. each other, the reps they're getting versus each other versus those older guys. He's the first one to jump in, him and Caden. Mm-hmm. They take approaches. Hey, man, if I get beat, I learn. That's a lesson learned. It's not a failure. It's a lesson learned because I don't know many DBs that can say, oh, nobody's ever thrown a touchdown over my head. Yeah. So I think those guys are growing, and like I said, they're both sophomores. They're mm-hmm. doing really good. Events, great competition. So it's nothing but going to build for them, and they're confident as the season continues to progress.
Coach, talk about your two tackles, Landon Flood and Samuel Scroggins, as they got better as the game went on. I think they saw the speed of the game because, boy, they faced some good defensive ends.
Yes, sir. I think just getting more comfortable in their technique of what mm-hmm. they're doing versus that caliber of an athlete, you try to simulate stuff like that in practice, but it's hard to simulate that. Yeah. I mean, those are great athletes at Mills. Take nothing away from them. Those guys work hard. Mm-hmm. They do a good job at what they do, and I think it put a lot of stress on us. But it made us better. Like I said, you play a team like that, number three team in the state. It's a build. It's a measuring stick for you at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. And like I told those guys, you're not going to see many athletes like that the rest mm-hmm. of this year. I mean, that's probably one of the best teams you're going to face all year long until you hit the playoffs outside of when we run the gauntlet. But that prepares you for those moments versus the Arkadelphias, Malvern, Nashville, which for me, in conference, that's what I'm concerned with. When we get to conference, we have to be ready to go.
Coach, who are some guys to watch for the Hope Bobcats?
Trey Gomer, he's going to be the running back, number 24, okay. Big workhorse, bell cow for them running back. Mm-hmm. They're going to hand it to him a lot. Trey Hoagland, he's the quarterback, sophomore, number zero, learning the system. You can see him getting better every week. He's growing as a runner and as a thrower over there. They got a few guys on defense that are number six. I know he's the corner. I forgot the young man's name. He does a really good job for them being an athlete, being somebody out there to put on the best receiver and trying to guard them. Linebackers and Jose Bello and J.J. Gully, they're going to be trying to fit really hard and tight, big blitzing team. So just being able to handle those guys and their athleticism, I think we're going to meet on a par to par with the strength. I think it's just the athleticism matching their intensity, I think, means a lot to us this week.
Hey, Coach, appreciate your time. Have a great week of practice. We'll see you Friday night.
Yes, sir. Go Panthers.
DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic here to assist you in meeting all of your veterinary needs in Southwest Arkansas. Think of them as your other family doctor. DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West in DeQueen. You can give them a call at 870-642-8387. That's Vets. To schedule your appointment today, and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown, you can call them at 870-898-5181 and join the rest of the community that believes in Martin Veterinary Services. Just look at their reviews. 5 stars across the board. You can trust no one better to take care of your furry one's needs, whether big or small. Routine checkups, spay and neutering, medications, and so much more. Place your trust in Martin Veterinary Services and you won't be disappointed. They're huge pillars of the community as well, sponsoring local sports, community events, and fundraisers, so much more. Southwest Arkansas thanks to Queen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Services for the excellent care they provide. Martin Veterinary Services, proud sponsor of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air.
Time to talk about the Foreman Gators now. The Foreman Gators 1-1 after they lost to the Hampton Cougars 38-14. You know, that's Hampton's third consecutive win over Foreman. In talking to Coach Baker, you know, I think Foreman's on the right track.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, they had too many penalties and had some miscues and inopportune times, and that led to a score that was bigger than what the it actually, the difference actually
well,
was.
Well, I actually thought Foreman had a good shot to win this game, mm-hmm. and I thought it was probably a toss-up. The biggest surprise to me was the score, but it sounded like it could have been a lot closer ball game.
Yeah, and I think so too. But, you know, just looking at a couple of players that did really well for them, Landon Shurtleff and Rylan Johnson both did excellent jobs for the Foreman Gators this week. And looking in moving forward, and we've talked about it already some, but you've got the Foreman Gators going to the Horatio Lions. It's a trophy game.
It is a trophy game. It's a big rivalry. It means a lot to both communities.
Yep.
And I would, if there's a historian out there that could contact Greg or I or Tyler and figure out how many times Horatio and Foreman have played each other and what the series standings are, I would love to know that.
We'll just get with Adam Matthews. He'll tell us.
Okay.
Surely he'll get somebody to do that. Surely the superintendent of schools can get somebody to do that, right?
I would love to know that.
Yeah, I bet you they played a lot.
I bet they have too.
Yeah, and I bet it goes back a long way.
I bet they have ever since there's been football, one or the other, they've played.
You're probably right. But anyway, big game.
Yes.
For both the Gators and for the Lions. First of all, they're both 1-1, so they both want that another win. But secondly, bragging rights and trophy, making room in the trophy case on too. So,
yep. Big doings in Horatio Friday.
Yeah, that's right. Let's talk to Coach Ed Baker about it.
Okay, we got Coach Ed Baker with the former Gators here on the line. And Coach, tough loss to the Hampton Cougars there, 38-14. Long drive home after that game. Tell us a little bit about the game.
Yes, sir, it was. Well, they scored a couple touchdowns early. We had a couple of secondary miscues that let them hit a couple passes. So they jumped up 16-0. We moved the ball well, had a turnover, and we counted at one point in the second half, we had seven false start penalties on our receivers. So we've never had that kind of issue. I don't know if they were nervous or whatever. But so anyway, it kind of – that stopped us along with third play. They're really talented. They got three or four guys that can score anytime they touch the ball. We opened the second half with the ball, went and scored. Rylan Johnson scored on a little reverse from 32 yards. That made it 16-6. And then we got another stop. And we're driving out. They had a nice drive, but we stopped them, held them on downs on our end of the field, and ran our little toss sweep play and just dropped the ball. They picked it up and ran it in, made it 22-6, and it kind of fell apart from there.
So more so that while you're playing a good team, it seems like you had some errors and turnovers that cost the made the score at least bigger than what it would have been.
Yes, sir. We feel that way, but now I'll tell you, they did a really good job. They're improved from last year. Like I said, they've got some skilled guys that can really go, and they do a good job up front with their big guys as well. So they did a good job, and we kind of helped them a little bit. But that's part of it. You got to help yourself, and so we got to do a better job with that.
Yeah. Moving on to this week, unless you've got something else about last week you want to mention.
Oh, no, that's good. I thought our kids played hard, so that's part of it. We kind of got a little discombobulated at the beginning of the game, but they got their heads right and battled back and played hard. So that's we can take something from that.
Well, you know, one of the things we talked about this a little bit last week, but those long bus rides are just hard to get over. Sometimes it takes a while to get going when you do that, or at least it did me back in the old days. But
that's true. We felt like they were focused on the bus ride, so just kind of not focused at the beginning of the game. But we'll figure that out. Like I said, we've come a long way. We got a long way to go as well.
Yeah. Well, you got a big game this week playing the Horatio Lions.
Yes, sir. Big rivalry, so we're looking forward to it. Our kids are excited about it. We were up 10 last year with 5 minutes left, and they came back and beat us. They did a really good job of coming back. They could have weighed down. They came back and beat us late. And so I think our kids are excited about a chance to redeem themselves, the guys that played last year, which is a lot of our kids back. So we just don't want them to get too excited about it. It's, we got to treat it as another game, but and it's a non-conference game, but we know, we realize it's big for our kids and community.
Yeah, well, I knew it, and you know, I talked to Coach Willis, and he says there's a trophy y'all have.
Yes, sir. Well, they have it right now, so we got to earn it back. So, yes, sir.
Yeah, but there's a trophy associated with this game. So,
yes, sir.
Which is I think that's pretty cool. You know, you got something there that you got some it makes it mean a little bit more when you know that you're playing for something like that. And I know the kids. They know all these kids. They get excited. They see them all summer and everywhere else. And they just, you know, everybody wants to win those games.
Yes, sir. Definitely. Definitely. So that's what makes high school football special.
Yeah. So have you any injuries or anything that going to hurt you or just?
No, we're still healthy. You know, we got bumps and bruises, but that's everybody. So,
yeah.
But we don't have anybody that's out. So we're doing good in that department so far.
That sounds good. Well, I tell you, I'm really looking forward to this game this week with Horatio Lyons. I think it's going to be a great game. Looking forward to seeing the outcome and seeing how the Foreman Gators do. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us each week, and we'll talk to you next week, and looking for a Foreman victory.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'd like to get a shout out to Landon Shirtless, one of our senior defensive linemen and tight end. He was our player of the game for last week. Those interior defensive linemen don't always get noticed a whole lot. Mm-hmm. He did a really good job playing hard all night the other night. So he was our player of the game.
Okay. We'll make sure we get a shout out to Landon then. Appreciate that. And we appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, sir. We appreciate you guys having us. Go Gators.
Thank you. Go Gators.
That's all the high school sports. Now it's time for the weekly awards, and we appreciate all our sponsors on that. And, Tony, we're going to start out with the Queen, and that's sponsored by Shelter Insurance, the Jeff Woods Agency.
We're going to go with junior Luis Sotelo, 9 carries, 79 yards, 2 touchdowns versus the Horatio Lions.
All right. Moving on, Domtar sponsors the Ashdown Panther Player of the Game.
Bryson French had a huge game, 3 catches, 68 yards, a touchdown. Also, an 80-yard kickoff return for a touchdown.
And moving on, Horatio, the line player, is sponsored by Horatio State Bank.
Joseph Fonseca, 16 carries, 49 yards, a touchdown, and then 6 tackles on the other side of the ball.
And moving to Foreman Gators, the Foreman Gator Player of the Week, sponsored by Horatio State Bank.
Landon Shirtliff had several tackles for the Gators.
Nashville Scrappers, sponsored by Loveless Refrigeration, Inc.
Tucker Dixon, 15 carries, 176 yards, 3 touchdowns for the Scrappers in their big win over Hope.
Nice.
And Todd Moore, Shelter Insurance in Dirk, sponsors the Dirk's Outlaw Player of the Week, and that's going to be?
Drake Thatcher, 7 carries, 57 yards, and a touchdown.
And Union Bank of MENA sponsors the MENA Player of the Week, and the MENA Player of the Week will be?
Beck Vecca had 67 yards in MENA's blowout win last week.
And Union Bank of MENA also sponsors the Costock River Player of the Week, and that Eagle Player of the Week is going to be?
Well, while they didn't play, Brody Lyle, offensive guards, had a good week of practice, and Coach Barrett wanted to recognize him.
Okay, moving on to some of the area awards. We're going to start out with the Offensive Player of the Area. That's sponsored by Toad Thumper Lures.
Jake Martin for the DeQueen Leopards, 8 of 9, 142, a passing touchdown. Add 42 rushing yards to that for 184 total yards. Jake Martin, a great football player, a better young man.
All right, and the Defensive Player of the Area, sponsored by Horatio State Bank, will be?
Colton Gadberry for the Dirk's Outlaws, had 12 tackles and a sack.
And the Player of the Area, sponsored by Mud Creek Designs, and the winner of a Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air t-shirt.
We're going Outlaws again. Peyton Beckman, 260 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, and 1 rushing touchdown. So 5 total touchdowns for the young man.
That's all the awards, but now we have the DeQueen Motorsports Game of the Week, and it's going to be?
the big rivalry down in Horatio Friday night as the Foreman Gators travel to the Horatio Lions.
UA Cossatot is committed to improving the lives of those in our region by providing quality education, outstanding service, and relevant industry training. Visit cccua.edu today to find out everything you need about UA Cossatot, including how to apply and enroll, all of their programs of study, financial information like how to pay for college, and all of the scholarship opportunities for our community. You can even learn about their technical programs like automotive and diesel service technology and so much more. UA Cossatot has such a wide array of programs available to you, there's no reason to wait. This doesn't just apply to high school graduates either. If you're still in high school, visit cccua.edu and learn about UA Cossatot's high school programs. Sophomores, juniors, and seniors are able to take up to 15 credit hours for free per semester through the Access to Acceleration Scholarship Program. No extra paperwork is required by the student for this scholarship, as the High School Programs Department ensures their information is submitted to state institutions for reimbursement. Medical professions, industrial technology, welding technology, and so much more. Ready to start when you are. Visit cccua.edu today and see what UA Cossatot can offer you. UA Cossatot, if you start here, you can go anywhere.
And now that we're through with the high school talk, we're going to talk about some national things of interest. NFL started this week, Tony.
I just want to say I've always loved Aaron Rodgers.
I'm sure that would make Jeff happy.
I just developed a little man crush on Aaron Rodgers this weekend. Man, he played really well.
You know, there's two things. He did play well, and you needed every bit of it.
And a 60-yard field goal.
Yeah, much closer than I thought it would be.
The Steelers score 34 points, they're going to blow the Jets out. Mm-hmm. But the defense looked lost,
and that was
why it was a close ball game.
And that's why I would be concerned about.
Yeah,
I mean, I thought that's. They're not playing Steeler defense.
No, they're not. But that's probably if they were having problems on the offensive side of the ball, I'd be more concerned. I have more confidence that they can fix the defense with the personnel they got, because they've got studs everywhere on that defense. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it goes.
And so based on what you know, would you consider the Jets better than what you thought they were?
Yeah, I thought Justin Fields played pretty well.
He
played pretty well, and mm-hmm. and probably this time next year when Aaron Rodgers is on an island somewhere sipping on an adult beverage, and I'm going to wish the Steelers had Justin Fields for their quarterback.
Yeah. Well, so moving on, anything else you want to talk about in the NFL? I was a little surprised that San Diego beat Kansas City the way they beat them.
Yeah.
That
was surprising. It makes you wonder if the Chiefs are starting that gentle decline, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it happens to all teams.
And after watching the Ravens and the Bills, are the Chiefs the third best team in the AFC? Because the Ravens and Bills both look really good.
Yeah, the Ravens are what they are. Look what they did.
I mean, they choked.
That broke my heart.
I
know.
Broke my heart. And then the Browns were the Browns. The Browns missed two field goals and an extra point in a 1-point loss to the Bengals.
Yeah.
My dad was so happy.
I bet he was. You know, one of the things I was kind of proud of the Cowboys.
I thought the Cowboys played well.
They you know, at Philadelphia, that's not an easy place to play.
No.
And 24-20, I think they had their opportunities. They missed a couple of things. They could have won that game.
Absolutely. And they wouldn't have disappointed me if I was a Cowboy fan.
Now, on the other side of it, Micah Parsons played like an All-Pro.
He did.
Yeah, for Green Bay.
He did, and he may have made them the team to beat in the NFC.
Yeah, and you know what? I was gonna ask you this before we leave the NFL. You want to make any kind of Super Bowl predictions right now? You can write them down because I'll lose them. but I was just thinking that, you know, we could do that.
If I had to say right now, I would probably pick a Bills Packers Super Bowl. Is that what you're gonna say too?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then it's going to be easy to remember.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about Philadelphia. I think they're still pretty good, but I think there's a lot of good NFC teams. And I think Detroit went over the hump.
Yeah. Kansas City's on the over the hump.
Yeah,
too.
They're probably over the hump.
And I think the Steelers are, they're just not good enough to compete with the Bills.
No,
they may be good enough to beat the Ravens in Pittsburgh, but they're all in on this season, and this is going to end in abject disaster because they've let their team get old. They put all this stock in Rodgers and things, and in a couple of years, I could see the Steelers being really bad and Mike Tomlin not being the coach. But although I think they'll be better this year, I don't think they're good enough to beat the Bills. That Bills win over Baltimore was huge for a couple of reasons. One, it put the Ravens one game behind the Bills in the seeding. But now, if the Ravens and Bills end up tied at the end of the year, then that game's going to be in Buffalo.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. And I think just the confidence it gave the Bills players to be down that far and come back.
Yes. And for the Ravens, here we go again.
Hey,
it's got to be a mental thing by now. They've blown so many leads.
You know what?
It's got to be psychological.
And here's what you do. I could have coached that team. Derrick Henry.
Give the ball to Derrick.
That's all you had to do. Yeah. Just give him the ball.
It's almost like they outsmart themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just giving the ball. But, you know, moving on, though, talking about something that's more local, Arkansas State played this past weekend. Arkansas blew them out.
Yeah.
Probably a little more than I thought it was going to be.
It reminded me of the old Foghorn Leghorn, when Foghorn Leghorn would grab the dog by the tail and just wham, 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 wham. And that's kind of what it felt like. I really thought State would play better.
Yeah, I did too. But, you know, the thing that's more interesting to me about it is, and Tyler and I have talked about this a little bit, is that the fact that now it's getting political.
Yeah.
And the governor's written letters to the trustees of both Arkansas and Arkansas State about them playing every year in Little Rock. And you know, there are a lot of feelings for somebody that's been a Razorback fan all their life and lived in Southwest Arkansas. I grew up going, you know, you could get tickets to Fayetteville games. You know, when I started going to Fayetteville games, the seating capacity was 35,000 up there.
Yeah.
And in 54, just as it is now, right, in Little Rock. The big games were played in Little Rock because they had lights. It was night.
Yeah.
And you could play them, you know. And so from my point of view, you know, they wanted to brand the Razorbacks as the Arkansas football team, the state of Arkansas. Well, if you're going to be the state of Arkansas, then you need to give the games to the state of Arkansas.
Right.
And what I see is, when they needed us, they did that. Now they've got enough people and stuff up there and money that they don't need us, so they go, you want to come? Come on. If you don't, we'll fill it up with somebody.
Yeah.
And so they're not the state team anymore. They're Northwest Arkansas's team. And it is easier to get up there, too.
Yeah.
I will say that. I mean, I've got season football tickets. I would not have them if that I-49 wasn't there.
Right.
It's that much. That's how hard it was to get up there and get back. It was horrible. but the one thing about it is when you look at the Razorback side of it, you know, it's not like you change every year. You don't change your schedule.
Yeah.
You know, their schedule is scheduled out till 2031.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to say it can't be changed.
Right.
But it's probably not. You'd have to pay somebody to do it, probably, because you're going to get rid of somebody that you're paying to come play you.
Right. I think there's an argument both ways. I mean, I try to be as objective as I can, I think that if you are going to play in Little Rock, State's a good game to play.
That's right.
You know, don't play a Sun Belt team.
No.
And not be Arkansas State. You know, don't play Monroe.
No.
Don't play Louisiana Tech or Louisiana. Play, if you're going to play a Sun Belt team, play State.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep, I agree. But I just think when it becomes political, I think some people, you know, and when I say this, I'm talking about the governor. I think she sent this out to cover herself, knowing it's almost impossible to happen when she does it.
You don't think that she would do something like that?
Everybody does that. politics. When you get politics in sports, man, we're really – you're going to ruin it.
You got that right.
Yeah, that's for sure. But, you know, looking at – what was your biggest surprise of the college football weekend?
Oh, definitely South Florida whipping Florida. And they've done it 2 weeks in a row now, and they play Miami this week. If they beat Miami this week, they are the kings of Florida. So but that's definitely the surprise. They've kind of jumped out of the barrel of the group of five teams that maybe's in line for, you know, the playoffs.
They did a good job against Florida.
Yeah, they did.
And I think the coach at Florida, Napier. He's going to get nappier.
Well, didn't he just get extended?
I don't know. Did they? Because he was on the hot last year,
I read that somewhere, and I could be wrong about it.
You know what?
But
it doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't.
People
of Florida will come up with enough money to buy him out if need be. It's just like the people of Alabama are passing the hat right now.
Yeah. Yeah, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think Clemson getting beat was a big deal, too.
It was.
Yeah, I mean, because I think they had their eyes set on a national title.
Yeah.
And they're not going to – as long as Dabo Swinney holds to his guns on NIL and transfer portal, they will not win a national championship.
Well, you just can't in this era. I mean, I respect the guy, and I think what he's trying to do is noble. But, man, I mean
change his name to Don Sweeney, Don Quixote Sweeney, because that's what he's doing, tilting at windmills.
I think that, I think you're right. I think that it's going to be impossible to compete with the teams that are taking full advantage of the transfer portal. One thing, and again, I mean, nobody cares, but all weekend, Dad and I watch teams, and there's somebody from Marshall playing on a team. I mean, every game we watched, this kid transferred from Marshall, you know.
Yeah.
And it just breaks your heart. It just – knowing what Marshall had last year and knowing what they are now is just – it's hard to deal with.
Rich get richer, the poor get poorer.
That's right.
And that's just the way it's going to be.
Yep.
Until they do what we said they were going to do. And they're closer.
Oh, that would be the best thing for Marshall now.
Yeah.
Now that this has all just kind of come apart – the best thing for Marshall would be to be in a section of schools that are all going to recruit similarly, you know, the same way.
Right, right. Anything else you want to talk about before we start?
I think we covered it.
All right, man, it's been a great week. Lots of football going on. Lots of football this week. Couple of homecoming games in the area. Don't forget about those. And we just want to go over our sponsors one more time. Our title sponsor, Pilgrims. We appreciate them so much. Ashdown Vet, Martin Veterinary Clinic, UA Costot. Then we've got York Gary Chevrolet, Hometown Poultry Supply. We've got Shelter Insurance, the Woods Agency in DeQueen, Domtar, Horatio State Bank, Loveless Refrigeration, Todd Moore Shelter Insurance and Dirks, the Union Bank of Mena, Toad Thumper Lures, and Mud Creek Designs. Mm. And don't forget, the Queen Motorsports.
That's right.
Freddie's there for you today.
I hope so.
We couldn't do it without you guys.
Yeah, we couldn't do it without you, man. We love we love our sponsors. We appreciate our listeners so much. And most of all, we appreciate the kids who let us talk about them. They're the reason we're here. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.